Gonna do this one sober, guys.
Whoa.
It's a first.
Uh-oh, indeed.
It's just going to be really boring. I'm sorry ahead of time. I'll try to stay lively. I don't feel like having a beer.
Well, some would say that's a good thing. Others would call you a pussy. I don't know where you fall on that.
I suppose. I don't think it's really either.
I'm just being pussy. Extreme.
I mean, I'm definitely a pussy. It's just not for that reason. There's plenty of other reasons I'm a pussy. It's just not that.
Okay.
Beer doesn't, I don't think, particularly lands on the spectrum at all in that regard. No judgment on beer. If you want to drink beer, you go right ahead. Now, if you don't want to do shots, now you're a pussy.
Yes, that's worse. That's really. Let's be
so,
right
here. Shots?
Yeah, dude. Line them up. Line them up.
Oh, wow. All right. Well, I'll tell you what.
I'll give Jay the keys. It's fine.
I'll pour them right now, and we'll do them real quick. I'll just get all this stuff
play
out.
Play beat here. The clock, you just, know.
Yeah, just like back in high school.
Yeah, right.
Now I'm doing ASMR.
No, that doesn't work.
Microphone. I don't think it's working. Yeah, no. All right. Everybody, here you go.
Perfect.
On three. One, two, three. Oh!
What?
Oh, God. Oh,
boy.
What
are we supposed
that burns.
To do?
That Yeah, you guys are not yes-anding right now.
That was you didn't give us shit.
I know it was a mime. We were miming. The audience doesn't know this is an audio podcast.
I didn't even see them. I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. You just went one, two, three.
Of course you didn't see. I can't believe you didn't pick up on that. All right, well let's on to the next bit.
What was he miming?
I don't know.
You're all gonna do shots.
Right? You were still doing that bit.
I was doing the bit.
I thought you were doing an ASMR bit.
Yeah, I had moved on.
Because I was trying to convince the audience we were making the shots. Yeah. What do you think? I was waving the liquid around near the mic.
Yeah, doing an ASMR bit.
You just
bit.
Didn't... Okay. Wow. All right, so we just sailed right past each other on that one, guys.
Guys, I don't think it's going to work today. Let's cancel podcast.
We're going to try it again next week, fellas.
Damn, I think you should drink more.
I know, right? You see what happens? You see? I fall off the drinking wagon for 1 week.
This is a shit show.
Oh, no, off the drinking wagon.
It all depends on your perspective, Jay. What's your streak?
Oh, man.
So, guys, anything new?
No, not too much. The usual, you know.
Staying home.
Yeah.
Yeah, enjoying quarantine.
Surviving COVID.
We were talking a little bit about before the podcast. Again, this podcast is the last podcast that'll be 2 weeks late. The next one should just be 1 week ahead of time because we're not recording next Thursday,
Hello,
right?
Hello, future. How are you?
Right?
Correct.
Yeah, I'm aware.
So we were just discussing there's apparently a new swine flu. Potentially on its way. So by the time this podcast releases,
it is officially halfway through 2020.
Yes, it is.
It is.
Oh yeah,
like just only halfway through 2020. As of the day of recording, you'll be listening to this.
You'll
2 weeks after halfway through 2020.
And God knows what could have happened by then.
Yellowstone's gonna erupt or some shit.
We could all be swine by now. just pigs overrunning the country.
It's like I heard
just murdering people and eating them violently in like a zombie-like frenzy, like the last swine flu.
It's not a bad idea for a movie, but then you know they try to make like the movie about giant bunnies and the movie about a giant rat.
That bunny movie was bad.
Yeah.
Night of the Living Hoppers? What the fuck was it?
Night of the Lepus.
Night of the Lepus. Yes. You know what I'm talking about, right?
I have no idea.
And then the rat one is called like Willard, because I think the kid's name is Willard or something like that.
I don't remember the rat one.
Yeah. I saw that one when I was like really young.
I don't think I've seen that one. I remember the bunny movie.
Yeah.
Night of the Lepus.
Night of the Lepus.
Night of the something. It's terrible. This movie, it's all filmed in miniature with regular sized bunnies, but with miniatures.
And super,
so like perspective.
It's filmed at high speed
and
slowed it down. Yeah.
Yes. But it's the problem is even massive bunnies are super adorable.
Yeah.
So it's not scary at all. And you just spend the entire movie just kind of looking at these bunnies slowly hopping through these miniature sets and cut to reactions of people.
Sounds horrible.
So next week, nobody asked for this. We'll be doing Night of the Lepus.
We will not.
Really abiding by our
remake
our
of the Blob.
Theme. Yeah, right.
It kind of is.
We've never done that one.
It's basically the same thing. It's the Blob, but with bunnies.
True.
Instead of a blob, you have bunnies.
Yeah, whatever you say, dude.
Right.
It's not the same.
Close enough. We're doing it on the podcast.
I don't want to.
We do have to talk about what we are doing next week, which we'll get to the end of the episode, but start thinking about that.
I'm not picking it this week. I've been picking it a lot.
Oh, I know. It's been so bad.
It has been fucking terrible.
Okay. Yeah. We'll do it.
I'm tired of the fucking criticism. So.
Well, maybe if you picked better movies. That, there's an option.
You guys
to
put
not
it on me. You guys put it on me. So
no, that's fair, Brandon. That's yeah, frankly, you're right. Also, because we did entrust it to you, and you blew it massively. I mean, and if we wanted it done right, we would have done it ourselves.
At the end of the day,
so you're right.
It
we can't complain.
Really, our faults for trusting Brandon to do something.
It was our. You got to take personal responsibility.
And that's what, I think that's what we're doing.
It was
now.
Our fault for letting Brandon do it. We should
just
have
like
known
to blame
better.
Others. I like to blame others. My MO.
It's like that. What did we talk about last week? Where the not my job guy.
Yeah.
That's another one. I just blame others. It's like, oh, cool. People like you.
Yeah.
People love that.
You're the good guy.
Put all
office.
My shit on other people. Not my problem.
Well, Gary was supposed to. Yeah. I did my half of the spreadsheet. It's really the same mentality. It's the not my job, bro. It's the same thing.
Listen, if you had half of a spreadsheet to do and you and I split it and I didn't do my half of the spreadsheet, like, that would be pretty fucked up of me.
Right.
Right? And you shouldn't have to cover that aspect of my work.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So
in this
case, the, like, not my job guy, I would say, is actually in the right because it's not his job.
No, well, no. There are certain situations where it is absolutely not your job. Yeah. If you show up and somebody hasn't done something that they were supposed to do
that's
for that
not,
day.
Yeah,
we
that's
just need
not
that
your
guy
job
who, like,
right.
always says that.
But if I'm like, hey, Bill, my father just is going to the hospital. I got a meeting at 4:00. Can you cover for me? And Bill's like,
not my job.
Not my job, bro.
Yeah.
It's like, fuck you, Bill.
That's the people.
Absolutely. If you're in like a group project type situation and I show up without my part, like, we all went through that in college. That's
absolutely.
Not.
Absolutely. And that's the fucking most.
Or high thing. School. Fucking A. I mean, anytime group work was involved, there's always that guy. That's not my job. That's your job. Yeah. That's a case of you not doing your job.
Yeah, that's
your
one absolutely. Only job.
There's a definite delineation to be made there, Jay, for sure. I'll tell you whose job it was the Magnificent Seven.
All right.
Because those guys, well, they took their job seriously.
They
like
did.
Magnificent people do.
Sure.
Do you guys want to talk about it?
Yeah.
Brandon's not very thrilled.
I already
Brandon,
see
you
how...
you want to riff on some current events a little bit more? Is that
go.
Would that be...
We'll get back to it later.
Do you have anything to cover? I mean, we've got... We're what? 7 minutes in? I asked if there's anything new. What's
I
new?
Just don't think Brandon wants to talk about the movie.
I don't have much to say about it, but I don't know. I always think you mean, like, just personally. But if you want to talk about, like, what the fuck's going on, there's a lot of shit that's going on.
What's new?
Let's see. I mean, there's politics. Have you heard anything recently?
No. You know I don't watch the news, bro.
Man. All right.
I saw swine flu is coming back.
Did we talk about the Russia thing last week? Was that
I
early?
I don't know. You're going to have
to. Hit on
I don't
Friday.
Think it hit on Friday.
Be more specific about the Russian thing.
Where Russians have been paying Taliban troopers to.
Oh, yes, right. To kill Americans.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Heard about that.
And Trump is just saying, I didn't know about it. Or I. It wasn't a big deal. I've also heard that one, too.
Hold on. What did he say? Did he say I didn't heard about it or it wasn't a big deal?
I heard, Kaylee, what's-her-face, said that, the new...
The new spin is, apparently, is that it was... Because originally it was, no, we didn't hear about it. And then a bunch of people came out and were like,
I heard about
it was in his brief. Yeah. And, like, we heard about it.
You know he doesn't read those.
that's kind of the
crux of the issue.
Yeah.
So kind of why people are like, what the fuck?
The my favorite tweet from all of this is like, because Joe Biden tweets out like, I'll read my briefings. And so someone tweeted like, the presidential candidate has a tweet with over 500,000 likes saying that he's able to read. And that's where we are in 2020.
He said he would read his briefings.
Yep.
Yes. He said he was able to, people aren't voting for able to read. God, that's a low bar.
Yeah, well.
Wow.
That's where we are.
He just said he'd read his briefings, which frankly, I'm not sure he's going to do either.
No, I mean, I'm not sure he can comprehend
his retention is questionable also. I just mean, for different reasons.
Hillary chimed in and was like, I would have read my briefs.
Yeah.
And it was like, are you still fucking alive? Why are you still alive?
She's getting ready to run again.
The last
she's
person
getting ready.
To hear from.
I won't put it past her until she's in the ground.
I agree.
I really will.
I agree.
And I mean,
then,
I don't know.
Then Hillary's ghost is going to come back and run.
Hillary is going to show up to the convention in blackface because Biden said he would nominate a person of color for VP. She's going to show up in blackface and get
First of all,
nominated.
You know Hillary Clinton has already appeared in blackface, so I don't know why you're acting like
Wait,
it would be
she?
A straight. No, I should clarify. I don't have factual evidence that she has, but I wouldn't be surprised.
No.
Apparently, it was a very in thing at a point.
To
just for Halloween, you just go
what
as black
the
people.
What fuck was that all about?
Was that thing that we just, like, that was it before we were cognizant of anything?
I remember people doing it when we were kids. You don't remember kids going out dressed as black people?
No.
Not as a minstrel show, not as like, hi, I'm black.
right.
But like as like Martin Luther King or Mr. T or fucking, or you'd go as like a character, like some people went as like Blade and people would have like black makeup on. Which is essentially black. It's not their fault.
Not
they were kids.
I don't believe, right.
I mean, I guess.
It's not that I don't believe
But
either,
no, but like
but
when there's pictures of adults who are doing it, like, is that just still like the same?
I think at some point that was
just
like,
a thing?
Like, hey, listen, as there's
I don't
ton
doubt.
Of, ton, Jimmy Kimmel did it. Like, there's been like all sorts of people fucking have done this. Well,
oh, I mean, the entirety of the Man Show just aged so poorly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Of that, you're like, oh fuck! This
right.
is bad,
and that was for comedic purposes. Mm-hmm. I'm just even talking about people who did it for like Halloween. That was even because you see pictures in a lot of yearbooks. That's where you were finding a lot of these black faces, pictures in yearbooks, and it's just like, oh, apparently everyone Halloween you would just go as whoever, black, white, or indifferent, I suppose, or inanimate object. So I don't know. It's just I wouldn't be surprised if Hillary Clinton.
I was a kid for Halloween, but no, I would not. I agree with you. That's why I was like, wait, is she like for real?
No, I did not mean to. I did not mean to suggest that I knew for a fact.
It's very believable.
You're right. Thank you for the clarification.
Totally believable,
Jay.
I was going to say, can we put a pause on this and like, can I see pics?
Can we check that? Hold on, I'll link them in the show notes. No, I don't have the pics.
She's a fucking ghoul.
I'm sorry.
She absolutely would have, and she probably did it like 5 years ago.
Probably.
Like, it wasn't even.
It probably wasn't back in the day. It was probably yesterday.
Very recent.
I can't believe that she's just, I mean. To have a presidential candidate, who's the last presidential candidate who lost and was just still like?
I mean, Romney technically,
Bob
he's holding office.
Romney a little bit, but no one cares about Romney. Like Romney doesn't come. I guess he says stuff. Maybe just no one cares.
He's building support.
He's like a resistance, a Mick resistance hero.
Yeah. You think Romney's going to be a guy
in
Romney's
not
going
to be here, but
in 2024
he will,
he's
for sure.
Be a guy. Guaranteed.
Really, how old's Mitt Romney?
He's not as old as Trump.
Yeah, he's younger than Trump. I mean, he's old.
He's too old.
I want to say he's not
70 bracket.
Yet.
Dave, that's like, I know you think they're all too old. They're going to always be too old. I don't know, like.
Well, I don't have a problem with an old president. I actually like my president to be on the older side because I like people to have a certain amount of life experience and a certain amount of worldliness and a certain amount of, you know.
But then how old's
wisdom.
Too old?
My sweet spot is between, I think, 40 and 60.
Okay. Yeah, Romney's older than that. I want to say he's in his 60s.
Yeah, he's in his 60s.
I'd give you up until 65 because that's where Social Security kicks in, and I feel like that's like a mark we've already decided you're old at this age. So we'll just make it 65. But yeah, I think 35 is too young, and anything over 65 is too old.
Yeah.
It's just either you just don't have enough experience yet or you're too out of touch.
Yes.
There's a sweet spot in the middle, and that's probably ageist.
A little bit, but that's why Romney's
actually I could probably get into
to
a lot of trouble. That's a protected class.
It's like
so.
I mean, it's like same argument for driver's licenses. So
it's what
you shouldn't be able to drive after a certain age. You shouldn't be able to run the country after a certain age.
You should have to
retested.
Yeah,
your driver's license when you hit 65,
and your Congress test.
Yes,
every 10 years, I don't see, or even every 5 years, I don't see how that's
something. Absolutely. I'm actually totally okay with that. Yeah. Some form of. I don't know if I want to use the word competency testing, but you know what I mean. So you're just not...
You're not...
Hey, like a picture of an iPhone. It's like, hey, what is this? And if you're like, oh, that's a DVD player, then it's like, all right, you're out.
Well, my grandma, when she was in her... I want to say she was in her early 70s.
You don't know what's going on. Sorry, Jeff.
She put a car into a...
Yeah, my grandma, too.
She put her car into a wall.
Yeah.
Oh. And, like, thankfully...
Like, intentionally, like, as an art project.
Right. It was thankfully she was just, like,
was she
pulling
okay?
into a spot, so it wasn't, like, you know, it wasn't at full speed. But that was when we were like, all right, grandma,
yep,
you're no longer able to drive now. You know, but like,
I bet that was a rough conversation.
My mom had it. I was still like 10 or 11, but I still remember driving around with her, you know, before that point as a kid being like, when you're a kid, it takes a lot for you to be like, oh shit. Yeah. I remember being like, oh shit.
Yeah, it's one of those things. You should definitely, I'm totally down with a relicensing test.
Yeah.
I mean, we take one to get one to begin with. Mm-hmm. I think you should have to keep it current in some way. At least a written test. Like, I think you need to take a written test or something, and then there needs to be a mandatory, like, driven test at like the age of like 60 or something. Yeah. Yeah. But if you can take the written test and come out clean and you're like, and a vision test and you're like good, I'm like, okay.
That's an interesting point too.
You can keep it for another 5 years or whatever.
You never have to retake a vision test. Like I could go fucking blind, right? And I would still have a driver's license with a valid vision test from when I was, you know, 18.
That's true. But it's first of all, blind, obviously.
No, I'm just
we're being hyperbolic. Because you get caught immediately. But let's say you're blind enough, and you're going to get caught pretty quickly.
You would be qualified as legally blind.
Yeah. As soon as you get pulled over, a cop's going to be like, you're not even looking at me.
Yeah,
like,
you're cross-eyed at this point.
That's what's happening right now. So I feel like you lose that pretty quick. But yeah, there isn't any mandatory vision like upkeep test.
There's like nothing. And that's always been weird to me, even when I was younger. Like, you should be older. You should have to get a test. And I mean, really,
just assume people are like, you can see, right? Like, but we haven't checked in, but you can still see, right?
I suppose, yeah.
But anything, like, we know that as people get older, very clearly, we have two candidates on the national stage who are demonstrating the perils of age right now. And, like,
yeah, it's a good point.
Yeah. You can get your licenses, you're putting your people in danger. You get your license suspended for, you know, driving drunk, rightfully so. Like,
yeah. I just don't know. I mean, Dave, you say that we should do it for everybody every 5 years or just after you reach a certain age?
I think after the age of 50, you got to pass a written test every 5 years up until you're 60 or 65, if that's where we're doing the thing. And then you got to go in for your retake of your actual exam. And if you pass that, you got to take a written test every 5 years after that.
Driving exam.
Yeah. Right. Your driving exam. Your physical in a car with an instructor driving exam.
Yeah. Which can just be the same thing that you do now. Yeah. Like when you're
right. It doesn't have anything crazy.
You know, it's nothing different. I mean, maybe you take out the parallel parking because fucking
no one can parallel park.
Nobody can parallel park. You learn it when you're 18, and then everybody forgets.
Well, here's the thing.
I'll like pay for parking anywhere that I don't have to parallel park, so I don't have to parallel park. Like,
the real thing is that it should really be regional. It should be by your district or city or whatever, because some people don't need to know how to parallel park.
Yeah, like people in Wyoming don't need to know how to parallel park.
I rarely parallel
park. We don't either.
Maybe in Hackettstown once every like 5 years.
Yeah.
If that.
Yeah. But there's enough parking that I can find a spot. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And street parking is like, if there's a meter, I'm like, fuck that. I'm not going to go there. So parallel parking around here is rare. But if you live in New York,
you're
going to have to learn how to parallel park, pal. It's got to be on a test. You can be doing that a lot. So I just feel like we could get smarter about that test, maybe. Cut out the parallel parking for people like me. That's all I'm saying.
Guys, we've solved it. We've solved the driving problem.
Fixed it.
Done.
All right, now we can move on to the movie.
Okay. We're 17 minutes. So is that a good...
Just gave it some...
You're right. No, I cut it a little early, though, because it was 7 minutes is early. 15 should be our target.
Yeah, man.
Now we're at 17. Now I'm just talking. Now, this isn't helping.
It's fine.
I'm just elongating the episode that I'm going to have to work on later.
Whatever.
This is counterproductive.
This is all is on you, man.
Do you want... Jay's already vaping. Let's do it. Ooh, rock and roll.
I was practicing it all day because I don't have a script.
I mean, I could always be louder. I'm Dave.
I'm Brandon.
And I'm Jay.
And nobody asked for this.
A podcast where we dissect reboots, remakes, retcons, and requels of our favorite movies and TV shows.
This week, The Magnificent Seven again.
Just the remake.
2016 version.
Yeah.
Guys, what did we think?
It was seriously really average.
Hmm. Okay.
It was not that great film propped up by halfway decent performances. It just was nothing to write home about. And I was saying, like, that's almost more offensive to me than a really bad movie. Because, like, a really bad movie you do have fun with in the way of you're just like, this is fucking horrible. Or, like, I can't wait to fucking rip on this later. This is ridiculous. This one was just like, yeah, everybody brought their B game, C game, and the movie writing and plot and everything was just pretty average.
Mm-hmm.
My take on it is that the director or the writers just didn't either. They never saw the originals, and somebody just told them about them. Like, it was missing all the themes, all the punch, all the...
They certainly didn't watch Seven Samurai.
No.
No one's got time for that.
They saw the ending.
They saw the ending.
That's definitely all they did. Yes. Yeah. I feel like for both movies.
They sent somebody else to watch, and they're like, how does it end?
Okay. Four, great. Four, okay.
Yeah. Four people die? Got it. Yeah. Got
but
it.
They don't have swords, so we'll do random props.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And we're going to put them up on a hill, and it's going to be it's gonna be the same thing.
It's going to be right off into the sunset. Got it. Absolutely. And that's it. I mean, it was... I will give this movie credit... where what I was expecting going in was the typical, like, you know, 2010 through 2020 action movie trope of the last, you know, hour and a half of a two-hour movie being straight action, no plot.
I'll give you that.
To this movie's credit, like, they did the lead-up, and then right in the middle they do kind of follow that plot where there's the mini-confrontation in the middle.
Yeah.
And then there's a little bit of a gunfight, and then the last, you know, 20, 25 minutes are the big... over the top, dynamite everywhere, gunfight action scenes. But in the middle, I mean, they did try to establish a plot and characters. And so it wasn't just straight up action schlock.
No.
I just think that it was, like you said, it was fucking painfully average.
Yeah.
Is how I would put it.
Just mediocre.
I'll tell you what. What I liked, good Western action that wasn't too much of the era that Jay is talking about, which I think I know exactly what you mean.
I'll give you that for sure. Yeah. It wasn't too, like, in your face, Matrix, but in the Wild Wild West, like, yeah.
Right. Yes. It wasn't like bullet time and slow mo.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And a lot, like, it was.
That's
good standard Western action.
That
a lot of gun flipping, a lot of, like, the flipping, fan and the hammer, a lot of. A lot of good Western trope action.
Gunfighting,
Which was primarily the second half of the movie. What I didn't like too much of it, because it was the entire second half of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
So you think it went longer? Maybe I was just... I didn't notice. I thought it was shorter, because I was expecting like an hour, because that's what these movies do usually now. It's like that last half is an hour, and it only works for the Avengers, because...
It wasn't a whole hour.
It was. I want to say it was like 25 to 30 minutes, which...
And it wasn't as long...
drag, but...
It wasn't as long as the action in even Kurosawa's movie.
Yeah.
Because an hour and a half, 2 hours worth of action, whatever it was. Yeah. But it was enough of, like, the end of the movie was so much action that it just got boring.
Yes.
Like,
And
they did a lot of little things with Chris Pratt and the dynamite, a lot of little set pieces to try and break that up, but it still felt like it was just like, I'm sitting there and I'm waiting for somebody to die. I'm like, four of you have to die.
Yeah, that's all I was doing too. I was like, who's going to go first?
And then we could be done with this.
Yeah.
The characters were a little bit flat for me.
Thank you.
Even though I did think we had some great actors in this movie.
I love everybody who's in it.
Like, yeah.
Everybody in it is like usually great fucking actors. Solid. Like, honestly, the best performance to me was Vincent D'Onofrio as the Crazy Mountain Man. Like, as
I loved his
big
performance.
Big fat fucking Vincent D'Onofrio.
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
He was really good. Other than that, like, the.
Chris
what was his first line when they first meet him and he kills those two guys who left him for dead?
I forget.
And then, before even talking to the other guys who are hanging out, all armed men standing around him, he kills these two dudes.
Yeah.
He's pulling the hatchet out of this one guy.
Taking what's mine, if that's
taking what's mine. These boys left me to die.
Yeah.
Up on a ridge. One of them hit me in the back of the head with the rock. I'm just taking back what's mine. Do we say something like, do we have a disagreement do we have an accord or something?
Yeah.
And the guy was like, no trouble. And I was like, damn, this guy is just, he is a straight shooter.
Yeah.
Like, wrong him and he will kill you.
Mm-hmm.
But hey, listen, I don't want to make it seem like I'm murdering these guys. I want to be totally clear.
They got what was coming to them.
Yep. Right. Exactly. And his whole performance was so rich.
Honestly, like, the best one. Yeah.
He was the only one that made me forget I was watching.
Yeah.
Like a character.
Denzel and Chris Pratt.
Right.
Yes. He was subsumed in his character.
Chris Pratt was Chris Pratt.
He was
Denzel
Chris
Washington.
100%
was Denzel Washington.
Yep. It was just Chris Pratt. Ah.
Yeah.
Like, get range, bro. I don't know.
Yeah,
like,
no, he's all right.
He's Star-Lord. He was Star-Lord in this movie.
In the Wild West.
He reminds me, he's starting to remind me of a Will Ferrell, like, where it's like every movie.
In
and that's
that,
why
yeah,
I can't
respect,
fucking watch Will Ferrell movies anymore.
Because he just plays the same character.
It's like, it's Will Ferrell. It's Buddy,
you see there's a new one?
Buddy the Elf in that movie about basketball. It's like,
yeah.
He's a child. He's a man child.
He's a man child.
Is the Will Ferrell character. Or he's like a super badass corporate, like, sometimes he'll play like a guest spot where he's just like, I'm like
in the office,
like Lex Grossman, like that type of character. Where he'll just pop in if.
What movie? I'm sorry.
Do you remember Les Grossman in what's that movie where they film the movie of Vietnam, but it's a film of them filming
Tropic
Vietnam?
Thunder, yes.
Tropic Thunder, yes. Like, he'll play that type of character, like a badass, like just to give him, like, a, because you expect him to be a man-child, and then he comes in a suit, and he's like a bro dude. And you're like, oh, you're bro dude, Will Ferrell. Okay,
like,
now he's got
movie
range.
Where he's the lead. Yeah. When he's the lead, it's
he just plays
man-child.
Yes.
Right? He's the same in Talladega Nights. He's the same as...
Even Ron Burgundy is that.
Ron Burgundy is...
He's a man-child.
He's
man
just... Yeah.
Absolutely. Did you see there's a new one? It's a straight to Netflix, I think.
Anchorman 2?
No. He's... Really? It reminds me very much of the ice skating one. He's... He's in like an international, like the voice type contest.
Eurovision.
Eurovision. Really? And he does a, I don't even know, some sort of like Icelandic accent the whole time. And like, that's the comedy of the movie, essentially, is like he's saying the things that a Will Ferrell character would say
but
in an Icelandic
accent.
And you're like, ha 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 ha.
I'm confused.
I saw the trailer.
It's Ron Burgundy or is it just
no,
Will
no, no, no.
No, it's Will Ferrell.
I was like,
but he's
they're
playing...
doing a third spin on that? What the fuck?
No, it's just another Will Ferrell character.
But he's playing the same character.
He's playing the same fucking guy, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, Chris Pratt has turned into that. Sad.
Yeah, yeah. I don't want to cut the poor guy off at the knees. I mean,
that's true. There's that
he's
one.
He's done
movie,
some great comedic roles. He's done some good action.
That one
goodness.
Movie. It was like a sci-fi movie where it's like
Guardians of the Galaxy.
No, it was.
thinking of Guardians of the Galaxy.
He's thinking of
Guardians.
No,
Guardians of the Galaxy. Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Yes. No. It's the one where like he's on like a colony ship and everybody's frozen, like hibernation, and then he's by himself awake. I don't know how he's awake.
You're thinking of the plot to the Outer Worlds.
No, he wakes up. He wakes up. It's weirdly similar. And then he wakes up Jennifer Lawrence and like he tells her it's an accident that she woke up and they're stuck together, but it turns out he's sabotaged. It's like it's like a dramatic role. I have not seen it, but
it might be good.
To his credit, maybe, you know, give him the benefit of the doubt, maybe he does drama good.
Maybe it's the movies he's it, because honestly, the Jurassic World movies, this
same character.
They're not, maybe he's not given the opportunity to explore his range.
Maybe he's typecast.
Maybe they come in and they're like, we're looking for a Chris Pratt type character. Yeah. He's a funny guy too.
Oh,
like,
don't get me wrong.
I'd like to see him doing some real good stuff, but this was not it.
This was he didn't need to be there. There's somebody who could have been in that part that would have been more enjoyable to watch.
Who played the sniper guy? The cowardly sniper.
I like that character.
Ethan Hawke, the Confederate guy. Yeah. He was good.
The PTSD
guy. He was good.
Yeah.
Ethan Hawke always puts in a good performance.
I like the idea behind that character.
I did too. I thought it was a decent portrayal. One of the better ones in this movie. Maybe that wasn't his fault. Either the character did just see it. Like he was PTSD guy.
Yes. That's exactly. It was like that to me is like the only character that transferred over. Like
he had something though.
Yeah.
At least.
Yes. Like, yeah. He had like a story.
Right. I mean, obviously,
you find out fucking Denzel's story at the fucking last minute of the fucking movie.
Which you kind of figured, though.
Yeah,
like,
the exact story you knew it was going to be.
At the beginning of the movie, when they say, when he leans over, the one guy leans, I don't remember who it was, leans over to Denzel Washington and he's just making sure we're fighting the battle in front of us, not the battle behind
us.
Yeah,
like he's got this dark past.
This dude killed like his
he
mom
mentioned
something
about having a wife, so you know he hates this guy. Who's the guy? What was the guy's name?
Bad guy, McBad.
Bogue.
Yeah, something. Yeah.
Bogue with a G-U-E.
Yeah.
So he's from
New Orleans.
New Orleans?
Yeah. But yeah, no, you kind of
like
figured.
That actor, though. The guy who played the bad guy. He's usually pretty good. But he played kind of just like.
He played that very flat,
very
too.
Stereotypical,
sniveling
but
bad guy.
Eric's or one of the Skarsgårds? I always forget.
Not a bad performance, but.
Peter Skarsgård.
As a bad guy goes, once you've got like Thanos to compare it to.
Even the one in. The original or no the original Magnificent Seven he was
a much better bad guy.
He was cartoon, but he was
great. A lot of got like gravitas, a lot
better,
of screen
he was
presence.
A cartoony bad guy.
Yeah, and they tried to give him like that same kind of like you're a quirky bad guy.
But
he was a mustache twirler.
Exactly.
He was a literal mustache. Mm-hmm. He lived for being bad. He was the bad guy of bad. I'm here to be bad.
Yeah.
I want my money and I want people hurt. I'm bad.
Yeah.
And you're just like okay, so like.
Nice motivation.
that's your thing. Got it. You're bad.
I thought they were
anything
gonna
more
like
than
they tried that with the hand in the jar in the beginning, and I was like, oh, is he gonna like get bitten by a scorpion? Is this gonna be some weird like test of loyalty?
No.
Or like, no, it's just dirt.
It's just dirt.
Just
making
jar.
A point really obtusely,
which was all really very stupid too.
Yeah,
I was like,
was
oh, this is so lame. This whole thing you're
doing. I know it was the guy from White Collar got shot in the beginning of the movie.
Oh, is that the guy who came out and was talking shit?
Yeah.
So I don't know who that guy
is. White Collar. Yeah, he's a good actor. He's in other stuff.
Okay. I know who exactly you're talking about. The handsome guy in the church.
Yeah.
Yeah. The only handsome villager.
Right?
So you knew he was going to die. He's like the red shirt. Yes. That's the red shirt.
Yeah. I thought that was the red herring. This is our character. We know this guy.
I thought he was going to be the main character guy. Yeah, no.
Yeah. It's subverted your expectations. That's good.
I didn't really have much expectations.
If you go in with low expectations,
exactly, you're never really disappointed.
You're not going to have a terrible time. If you're looking for a Western action movie,
I could name 13 others that are probably better.
I could too.
Easily.
I need Gun Dave to explain something to me.
It's not going to be good.
I was gonna.
So a lot of gun problems.
This is a question that I always have when this type of thing happens, and it's when they have the and it's taking place when Chris Pratt is cornered by the two dudes and he does a magic trick and he's going to escape by distracting them with a magic trick.
Right.
But he distracts them with a magic trick. He makes the king appear in his hand.
Right.
And then like he's raising his hand above his head and somehow the gun snaps to his hand from a holster. How does that work? Because you see that in movies sometimes too, where it's like the holdout in the
sleeve. That's not really a gun question because that's a crazy movie question.
Is that a crazy movie question? That's not a thing that can actually happen.
I think you were meant to understand that Chris Pratt's magical. He does magic, sleight of hand. Magic,
right.
You weren't going to know where that gun came from anyway because sleight of hand. but I mean, think Taxi Driver. The rail he basically has a spring loaded rail from a desk drawer and I've seen mechanisms that essentially do that. For you to have to carry that around, wear that all day
with a fucking with a big iron, that'd be so heavy.
Anybody who is doing that, especially in a movie at this time where the technology is so crude, that's a serious reach.
So it almost seemed like you would need some sort of steampunky contraption that was under there, was what I was thinking.
You could do some sort of spring operated gizmo. I'm sure you could rig it up. Were people doing that in the Wild West?
What's his face from fucking Wild Wild West?
Yeah, I don't
Jim
think
West.
So.
No, not Jim. Who's the other guy? Artemis?
Artemis, yes, the other guy. I know what you're talking about. Like we've all seen that trope. It flies out of his sleeve. It's
very overused.
I've seen devices that do that, but I don't know any serious gun person who would ever use such a thing. It's just, first of all, what situation are you in? Think about wearing that every day, wherever you go.
Is it practical?
The one time in your life that maybe you needed to pop a gun out of your... Wouldn't it just be easier to be in the holster? Even if you have a hidden holster in your back behind you, or in your shoe, or the
Would
popping
you
out of your sleeve.
End?
Yes. Oh, if you want to keep a shoe holster or a back holster, all realistic things I've seen people do. Again, depends on the lifestyle you're leading. If you're a U.S. Marshal what are those guys on the airplanes? Air Marshals. If you're one of these people who needs to carry a concealed weapon and you want to carry one on your ankle, more power to you. But there were a lot, beyond that, there were a lot of gun problems in this movie.
Weren't there?
Besides the total, first of all, anytime you see somebody shooting with two guns in the Wild West, it's really unrealistic. Because you have to cock that gun every time. It's not a double action where it'll do, or it'll, when you pull the trigger,
pull
it will pull
back
and fire. To make that gun function, you have to pull the hammer back, click the trigger. Pull the hammer back, click the trigger.
Which is why have the fanning is such a useful thing to be able to do.
I don't know if you've ever fired a gun with your left hand. But it's really fucking difficult, unless you're just like amazing and ambidextrous. So to be constantly clicking and squeezing the trigger and pulling the hammer and with opposite hands in alternating motions,
it just seems so
and moving your chain of sight, your range of sight from one gun to the other in two different directions.
I'm
always just like, there's just not a human being alive
seems
who
like
would choose
be
to do that.
To just throw out a bunch of like they do in Westworld. Have you seen Westworld?
Of course,
right? You know that
I've seen the first season.
In the first season where I think it's Hector comes in and they're coming to rob the bar and they just take these big blankets that have wrapped guns in them and they just throw these blankets and all these guns just on the ground in front of them so that they're picking them up, they're shooting them, they're
the way to do it.
Empty a gun and then toss it aside, pick up another one.
Well, that's the other thing. It takes two hands to reload those pistols and effectively everything that you're reloading. So to carry a pistol in each hand, it seems a little ludicrous to me, especially because you've only got six shots. First of all, no one reloads enough. We all know that. That's just a movie.
Yeah, that
that's
was
just
like
movie magic.
Very apparent in this one.
But when you're using six shooters, it becomes so much more apparent.
Yeah, you can be
it's
like, no,
like,
that was way more. Than,
this is I mean, there was one scene where he reloads his gun.
Yeah,
one scene.
And I was like, okay, at least they did something. And also, everyone wore their guns all stupid.
Yeah.
Everyone had these reverse grip. Denzel Washington's gun, he was right-handed. His gun was on his right hip with the butt of the gun facing forward. So he literally, to draw his gun, he has to twist his hand one way or the other to pull the gun out, flag himself with a loaded firearm before pointing it at his opponent. And then, and if it face forward, all you, I know no one can see me, but all you got to do is this. You literally don't have to even move your hand much. You just have to clear the holster.
I feel like that's where they got into like the movie tropes of like, let's make it with flourish. When it's like, no, just...
It was so he could flip the gun around when he put it back in the holster.
Yeah.
But
couldn't you just flip the gun around?
That's why it bothered me, because there's theatrical ways you can do that and still have a practical gun at your side. And there's ways to wear a gun reverse grip.
There are,
if you wear it on your reverse hip and you stand sideways.
They're like the gun showman guys who like do the fast draws, who like, you know,
absolutely
shoot stuff before. They could teach you how to do the flourish and make it look, you know, efficient and
right, but for practicality's sake, it's not what you
want. I've never seen somebody use a reverse grip holster and not cross draw.
That's what
go across the body. It was so disturbing because he was like the main character and it happened all the time that every time it happened, I was like, all right, the badass cowboy doesn't know how to use a gun.
It's
right?
Hard to suspect.
Got it.
Yeah.
Got
it's hard
it.
To stick with it at that point.
And then the action was too much. There's too many bullets flying around, too much
dynamite. Like,
you know how many people
dynamite
are
was a little
loading at
like,
any given time?
To take it back to Seven Samurai, like, they fought off those bandits with fucking bamboo sticks. Mm-hmm. Like, and this one, they're like, steal the dynamite from the mine, lay these mines, dig these trenches, cover the trenches, hide the people, do this thing. It's like, yeah, but you kind of miss the simplicity of, like, the point of the simplistic defense that these... these poor farmers have to do.
To be fair, they did have a fairly good series of scenes where they did like the plan layout.
I liked the plan. And
they did kind of keep
they
it
did
back,
that
yeah.
better than the Magnificent Seven,
yes.
the original
yeah,
Magnificent Seven.
You got the
Seven,
geography
like
of the town a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
They definitely like you. They established
and they're hiding in the tents and they do and they really writing gold. By the way, when they raided the was it a bank or the mining facility?
It was a mine.
The mine.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then anything they had for the rest of the movie, you just go, oh, they got it from the mine.
Exactly. Oh, it's
they got it from the mine.
Both lazy and brilliant.
Like, oh, my God. Where's all this TNT coming? Oh, they got it from
lazy
the mine.
Lazy and brilliant writing.
They got it from the mine. Oh, Jesus. Napalm? Where are they? Oh, they probably got it from the mine. Is that a spaceship? I probably got it from that mine. Do you guys want to talk about the Gatling gun?
Well, that's a real gun.
I know. It was, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which I liked that it... I mean, I don't know if it's period accurate, but I actually like that it was...
It's hard
it was
to get an idea of the exact year,
it
but it's fairly...
If it was post-Civil War, yeah, it would be.
You would think it would be fairly period accurate.
Because it was came to prominence in the Civil War, right?
I just thought it was a little tropey.
Yeah, hella. Especially because he kept going like, look at the wagon, where's the wagon? I'm like, it's going to be a cannon or a galley.
I knew.
And then I'm like, oh, the good guys have a cannon, it's going to be a Gatling gun. It's a Gatling gun.
Yeah, exactly. And they popped the Gatling gun out, and then they just decimated
just
the town.
Mow them down.
Which, I mean, A, it was a large town, but B, you got to figure that would have been a pretty decimating.
That was a lot of people.
Like, yeah. a lot of bullets raining down on a town of made of wood.
Yeah.
So even if you're taking cover, you feel like that's doing a lot of damage. I'm surprised that more kids didn't near die. Remember they had that whole scene where they put the kids in the cellar and they were like, you can't stay down here. And I was like, where's the scene where the barn's going to catch fire?
They set
and
up these stakes,
oh, the kids.
And then they were like, Denzel Washington just comes in and shoots them.
Yeah, there wasn't really
yeah, he's like, get out of here.
And like, that should have been the thing that made them like vulnerable at one
yes.
moment is trying to get them out of there. But that wasn't what it was.
They got
to
save the kids, and then a bunch of them get shot.
Just the Gatling gun. Everything that was fine went off without a hitch, but they didn't bring that Gatling gun.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was weird.
How about, first of all, everyone acts weird in this movie. Even people with good motivations act weirdly about them. So you get to the end of the movie, not that we're at the end, but basically when the main bad guy rolls up to town after everything's done
like
and done. And... But right before the ending. And he's got two guys with him.
Yes.
And I'm sitting there puzzling to myself. I'm like, does he think he won?
Yeah, he did.
If you're the main bad guy and you've only got two guys left and you know there's still a town full of people down there who don't like
well,
you.
Regardless,
like when he was he right at the end at like the church.
You didn't win. Why are you rolling in? Go home. You need to go home and get more men.
Like it seemed like
I don't know why he rolled up to town.
It seemed like he was like, oh yeah, I got this in the bag. But in reality, like he didn't. How would you even know who was still left? Like it seemed like he was like, well, it is just me and that Denzel Washington. Let's go and clean him out.
If I'm remembering,
but, like,
yeah,
how
right.
could he have known that? Because he was like a half mile outside of town. How could he have known that? How could he have known there wasn't 15 still people there?
Yeah, it's a huge risk to assume that you've killed everyone in town.
The ending was very overly cliche.
What you're meant to think, or what you're meant to understand, is that like when they bring the Gatling gun in and start mowing everything down, that's when he comes into town figuring, oh, it's done. And
must
if I'm remembering it, yeah. And if I'm remembering it right, then doesn't he know that they blow up the Gatling gun and isn't he in town and kind of looks at it?
No.
He's
goes
still
in
there.
After that. He does like
he goes
this.
In after
he almost
that.
Has his like.
Remembering out
he has this like.
Because that would make more sense.
Because he's got the Gatling gun as cover at least.
Yeah, so he goes in and then it's like, it blows up. And
no, it's
like,
literally him and two guys left and they mosey into town.
He has a Thanos moment. He's just like, fine, let me do it myself. That's the face he gives when he throws in a cigarette. That's exactly what he was
But he's not a tough guy.
No.
And if you can't do it, you don't have a gun on you, bro.
I know.
He had that little ankle holster.
No, he had another gun.
He had a gun, but then when
he had one that was
Denzel,
shot out of
his Denzel
hand.
Was faster.
You're right. Okay, you had a gun.
You had a
You're
six
terrible with
that was it.
Yeah. You're not comparable to these other characters. Even your guys, you're clearly not as good as.
Yeah.
But you're going to go in and do it yourself. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we were meant to believe that was just like his level of hubris.
I don't know. It was just.
But I didn't get enough from him that I felt that.
I agree.
I knew
it just seems stupid.
At a certain point, you're like, okay, they're going to have a final standoff.
They have to.
I was like, I wonder how they're going to work it in. And then I was like, oh, that doesn't even make any sense.
But
why
if you had
you
a moment, if you had, like, if the Gatling gun did its job and everyone, you see Denzel, he's crawling on the ground and, you know, he's been hit and the guy comes over and he kicks the gun away and he really thinks he's got the advantage.
Yeah.
Like, and then the tables get turned on him like that, like Pan.
Yeah, yeah. God, that fucking ridiculous
like,
fucking.
Really, movie. Or geez, so tropey. Or Planet of the Apes.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Fight like apes. like that. Yes. I could see that, but in this, he's just like, well, I'm an idiot. I feel like I should go in and see if anyone's still alive. I guess in this town that's killed all my men.
Yeah,
put up more of a fight than
up until the last two guys. Like,
yeah, it was just so. But you had to have that ending.
You didn't, like, showdown. You almost didn't need it. You didn't need it.
I don't think you did either, but they did it.
I think you
once you built up.
Yeah, you needed it, but not in that way.
But again, like
I think you needed it once you talked about once it's like I need Bogue. Get Bogue. Like now it's personal.
Yeah.
Now you need it.
I don't know. The whole like Denzel's backstory was so weak. I think they could have telegraphed it a bit better.
It was exactly what you expected it to be, which is the story of Red Dead Redemption, which is like you left me for dead, and you killed my family, and now I'm back for revenge,
back on a quest for honor.
It's very time. Western.
Yeah, no, I read that.
It's 100%
a mile out.
Right. So like, I guess more so it didn't engender me to his character because we don't find out.
No, I agree. It wasn't.
Like, it didn't make,
oh
like,
yeah,
I was like,
that's a good point.
It didn't make him a sympathetic character.
Exactly,
because
you
was
didn't
a
find
very
out.
Basic.
It was a just super.
You knew what it was, and it was almost like they were relying on the fact that you knew what the trope was to not
to
go into
in
too
blanks.
Much backstory, and which worked for me. Like it didn't make it didn't make me more sympathetic towards him necessarily, but I was definitely able to fill in the blanks. Like I said,
no,
as soon
of course.
As he was like, oh, battle in front, blah blah blah. It's like, oh yeah,
especially when he said once he knew his name, I was like, oh yeah, so this guy has a story with this guy, but they don't. If they had had any interaction before that, maybe it would have been a little bit better. Sold
yeah,
to me.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know. They could have sold it better to me, but
flashback
me.
Or something like that.
Something.
I can see that. Yeah. Yeah.
What'd you guys think about Legolas?
He's pretty badass.
The Native American guy?
You know who I'm talking about?
Yeah, fucking Archer dude.
Oh no! Yeah. I actually was thinking of Knives Guy.
Oh, Knives Guy was also pretty badass.
Yeah, yeah.
Knives Guy was good. He was a good team with Ethan Hawke. That was good. They were good.
I thought they had a good, a good relationship.
Yeah,
I did like the archery guy. I thought that was neat that we were using something other than guns.
Yeah,
it added some variety to the combat.
Yeah,
and variety to the characters because they weren't all like cowboys.
Yeah, true.
You know,
true.
And and variety to the characters, because like you got the sniper guy who's not, I mean, they're all cowboys, I guess, but he's like this old Confederate soldier. Mm-hmm. And then you've got the mountain man. He's a cowboy, but he's a mountain man. He's not your
he's
typical
more like
cowboy.
A lumberjacky.
He's a mountain man.
There's a variety to these characters.
Jeremiah Johnson kind of, yeah.
Yeah. They don't all show up wearing cowboy hats.
No.
So it's the one guy's got like bear pelts on. Mm-hmm. It's, it's very much.
Yeah, they tried to make it their own thing.
Mm-hmm. I thought they did a fair job of that. The characters needed a little bit more room to breathe.
They did. They and Chris Pratt needed a new script.
Yes, entirely new script.
Yeah, or just different actor. I don't know.
Maybe somebody could have done that better.
I don't even know.
Maybe he's just so Chris Pratt that we're just like,
just expect it.
He's just 100% Chris Pratt in this. It's really
stupid. He is. It's
the only
it's
part
shame.
That was good was when he was like, "What's a syllable?" I was like, "Oh, he's supposed to be."
I like that.
That was funny.
Like, he's supposed to be uneducated. All right.
I think I probably got one good laugh out of this movie, and
that was it.
What's a syllable?
Mm-hmm. And like the couple of scenes at dinner you get were like the good characterization for those brief snippets that we had them.
It was the Maria. Like, Maria. I have three Marias.
Yeah. I have three Marias.
Yeah.
That's right. Chris Pratt and the guy, the Mexican guy, they had their own little
thing going on. They did,
Which, again, typical. You're like, oh, they don't like each other, and then they're going to develop a mutual respect to be friends.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very typical.
It was
a cookie cutter movie.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, to be fair to the Western genre,
that's bread and butter. Yeah.
You know, if you're going to.
But that's like, if we're talking, like, there's such a divide in Westerns between like old school Westerns and new school Westerns. Like the old Westerns died so long ago. So if we're equating it to those sort of tropes, like sure, it matches up to those all the time. But we've had so many interesting, good, new, original type Westerns in the past 20, 30 years that have blown expectations and subverted all the tropes.
Like so, high production.
Yeah. And I feel like they dropped the ball on this. I don't know. And again, it didn't even really give me echoes of the original one. It was like a totally different.
No,
it was like, hey, make a Western.
Here's seven gunslingers, and we're doing our thing.
It was like
that's
a fucking like a game jam Western. It's like, okay, here are your constraints,
and write it within 30 days,
and now make it. Yeah. Like that's really what it seemed like to me.
What's game jam?
It's like when you get just
like these festivals were like. Developers and competitions where developers are told like make a game with these constraints within this time limit, and it's like
and
everybody's goes out for free and everybody gets to try them. Yeah,
interesting.
It's like okay, your constraints are there's seven dudes, it's a Western, and like it's post Civil War. Go.
Yeah,
and we got to have a bad guy who wants a town.
Yeah,
that's it.
It also that felt so lame too because you had this guy Bogue and he's like this big ass like bad guy. The town didn't seem that important to
him.
Nope. In the other two movies, he's a bad guy.
He's just the bad guy. So it wasn't important to him. It was just to be evil.
But in the other two movies, these bad guys had motivation. They were like, "We're here. We're shearing sheep. This is what they do." He was just a banker who showed up here to like be a dick and steal some land, which I guess is very Western.
It just didn't seem like they had a lot there. Yeah.
Who survived at the end? Who were our final three survivors in this?
The Mexican guy.
Right.
Denzel. And I think just the chick?
No, there was
a third. No, because the chick wasn't one of the seven, was she?
No,
there was a third, you're right.
Was it the Native American guy?
Native American guy.
Because he didn't really see him after. Yeah.
Yep, absolutely. So what was missing was... and was in the first two movies, and they stripped from this movie, was like a mentor story.
Yeah, no, none of that. None of that relationship.
There was no young, brazen kid who was looking to prove himself.
You got hints of it that they were trying. And again, this is where I'm like, maybe they watched the originals. I'm not entirely sure. You got hints of that with Chris Pratt a little bit, but it was just so lost in Chris Pratt that I was like, okay. He could have been that Steve McQueen or the apprentice guy. But
yeah, I think they just kind of cut that.
They didn't care about the dynamics. The dynamics weren't... They didn't go with like the actually interesting dynamics from Seven Samurai and Magnificent Seven. They just went with the tropey dynamics.
Yes,
because Chris Pratt was the number two guy. He was the two.
Yeah.
So how many you got?
Yeah.
Two. These two?
No. Yeah.
You and me. I like that line too.
That was funny.
These two, you and me. I was like, oh, okay. He was, and that character deserves so much more. I'm sorry, Chris.
Yeah.
If you're listening to this,
and
we know you are.
And Denzel's character deserved more, too, I think.
He did too. Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. But
Ethan Hawke and fucking Vincent D'Onofrio were the only, and the other guys, I guess, the Knives guy and Native American guy. They brought what they could to those roles.
They were minor roles to begin with. They were not supposed to be main characters.
Chris Pratt was supposed to be a major role.
And he didn't carry.
And nothing carried.
It was Denzel. Denzel didn't carry either.
Yeah, he was solid as
a guy. Remember Training Day? Fuck.
No, like he was
such a good actor.
It's not like I feel like we're shitting on this more than it's exactly what Brandon said it was. It's
like Ghostbusters. Like,
it's very average.
There's
it's
super really average. Talented people in it, and I kind of put the fault on the people who wrote it and produced it. I feel
because you want a cool badass Western.
You might be right.
Yeah, it's disappointing in the fact that like you want it to be better. It could be a better movie. Yeah.
Very average. The things that are good are the things that like. You needed to get good, or else I would have shat.
Yeah, those
on your
like
movie.
Yeah. The things that are good are like bare minimum in good movies.
There was no risk taking. And after watching two movies that were
pretty
risk taking for the time, and
The Seven Samurai for sure.
Seven Samurai like just was trailblazing, right?
And even Magnificent Seven, like they just were like, we're taking this Toho movie, we're making it a complete Western, but we're gonna make it faithful, and they really did make it faithful. Even
it just doesn't
for the most part.
Yeah, it just doesn't live up to. The lineage, I think that's the disappointing part.
Any other fucking
doesn't
name
live up to
it.
The lineage. You shouldn't have even put the name on it. To be honest,
this is
it could have just been a generic Western.
And then
movie.
People would have been like, "Oh, it's kind of like a spiritual successor to the Magnificent Seven," you would have had that.
Here's the executives going, "People aren't that smart, Jason. They don't have subtlety. Let's make movies for dummies.
We own this property. We're going to use it. Goddamn it! It's intellectual property.
Can we fit Transformers on there somehow, please?"
Oh my god! It might have been better.
This is what really gets under my skin. It grinds my gears. Like this is why I am campaigned against. This is why we do the podcast. Is to talk about the just waste of time, waste of money. Remakes. There are good remakes.
Did this movie do well? Do you know?
I didn't look, but I mean, it was such a flash of the pan. The ratings were average.
Ratings were literally average.
They were literally like 70s and 80%. Like,
I think I heard about it just like any other remake. It's like, oh, they're remaking that. Okay.
But like, this is what I fucking hate about remakes. These types of remakes. Just the kind of soulless cash grab. It's Antoine Fuqua, this director. He's a fantastic director. Like, he's really well regarded.
What happened?
I don't know. Budget constraints?
Maybe, but dude, the movie looked good. They had a lot of explosions. I mean, clearly they had money to destroy shit.
It's not like
this movie did well.
Yeah, Chris Pratt in it.
Oh, really?
Of course it did well.
$162.4 million against a production budget of $90 million.
So. Yeah, dude, we're idiots. We have no idea what we're talking about. This movie made money, therefore it's the best thing ever. I take it all back.
Free market, dude, right?
That's absolutely. So the movie made money. It's the best movie I've ever seen in my
logic.
Entire. Chris Pratt, mwah!
Keep doing what you're doing.
With the cast alone, that was going to make a shit ton of money.
Yes, and that's probably where the fucking budget went.
Oh, you got to think almost all of it.
I mean,
a Western town's probably pretty cheap to build.
Not that expensive.
I mean, cameras have got to be pretty cheap these days.
Pretty cheap.
I mean,
the explosions were probably a big bit of it, for sure.
A little bit, but even that pyrotechnics, I mean, it's the destroying things that's... what are you destroying? 90, what's expensive? It's a wooden shack.
Yeah.
Out of 90 million, that's nothing.
I guarantee
you're right. It's probably
mostly
the
fucking
actors.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's what made the money, because people saw their names and they were like, oh, Chris Pratt's in this. He's playing a cowboy. I love Chris Pratt. Fucking A. Denzel Washington. You seen him in Training Day? Fucking love Denzel Washington. Oh my God, I'm going to see this movie. And then you watch this movie and there's just enough explosions and just enough excitement, and Denzel works his gun wrong, but nobody realizes that. And so you come out of this movie and you're going like, boy, oh boy, I love Denzel and I love Chris Pratt. This movie is fucking
Chris
fantastic.
Pratt fucking blew himself up right at the end.
You see him?
He got shot like 9 times. Then he took that dynamite right out.
Oh my God, so
he was
good.
Hiding it the whole time. Even though we really had to rely on him still being able to make it that close to them, but he shot that many times. That was really convenient that he didn't die before then.
He got shot a lot.
He got shot like 9 times.
A lot.
And then he gets there and they're like, wait, don't. Like, dude, just shoot him. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, no one shot Chris Pratt.
That was so
when they should
have.
There were like 8 dudes with guns shooting him in the fucking brain. Like,
not
what
that I
fuck?
Root for the bad guys,
no,
but
like that was stupid.
You're doing this to yourself. You're letting him get that close to blow you the fuck up.
Can we talk about
that scene pissed me off.
Actually the violence in this movie for a second?
Sure.
Because it was other than the firearms work. Some of the violence, I was like, I guess it's a 2016 action movie, so you gotta expect that, but like a man gets impaled with a hatchet. Like,
There's
I mean, there's some pretty gory arrow shots. I mean, arrows usually, like, they go into, like, armor and you just kind of don't see them anymore. And it's like there was a fair amount of, they talk about scalping. You don't actually see it on screen, but there's, like, the implication of it. They blow up a fair amount of people, and I think
that's pretty explicit. They just fucking nuke them.
And at the end, even when I mean, you could contrast it with the beginning, which is exactly what it's supposed to.
It's PG-13 too.
I was just looking that up.
PG-13. The beginning of the movie, they kill, who's the guy, the handsome man in the church?
The guy from White Collar.
The guy from White Collar. They kill the White Collar as he's essentially, he's standing up for these people. And his wife, I guess, it was his wife, right?
Something like
is, like, begging for his life. And, like, this, in this very, I thought, dramatic and appropriate for the movie scene.
Yeah, I thought we were getting set up for, like seriously melodramatic, like.
But then they bookend that at the end of the movie with the villain
getting shot,
begging for his life.
And getting shot. Yeah,
I guess so, yeah.
Right, exactly.
In the church as well, yeah.
And who comes into the church and tells Denzel, like, hey, listen, it's the lady. She's like, hey, you don't have to do it.
Oh, yeah.
There's,
yeah,
like, that whole, like,
that
you don't
scene
have to.
Yeah.
And you have the heroes, like, he was going to strangle him to death, but then he was like, oh, could he do it? It's like, and then of course, the villain has to do the one last thing that gets himself killed.
Of course, yeah. Of course.
Because he's a villain.
But you have that scene where even you can kind of, you see this guy who, he's the bad guy, and we don't like him, but he's begging for his life. Wait, please, please don't.
Yeah, like, he's pathetic. He's pathetic.
And
you,
at least for me, it brought me back to the beginning of the movie, where now we've got a total change of roles, where this guy who was,
he was the bad guy in that.
He was the Denzel Washington, and now Denzel Washington
is coming.
Oh, is the bad guy. And so I it wasn't, listen, it's not fucking, it's not Kurosawa, but
no.
I liked how at least there was some sort of thought put into.
Yeah, it's a little, to like the rhyming there.
Yeah, sure. The flow of the movie and the bookending of that kind of thematic
Again,
thing.
There was, it just seemed like everybody was just like, yeah, good enough. Like they put some thought into it, and then it's like, they all got sick for the second week of writing it or something like that.
They couldn't afford to pay the guys anymore because all the money was in Denzel Washington's
Denzel
pocket.
Like Chris Pratt, yeah. That's totally what it is, I swear.
And this movie was more violent than The Magnificent Seven.
Yeah.
Of the original Magnificent
Seven. Even
though
there was less blood.
You think there was less blood in which?
In this one.
In this one?
Yeah. Granted, the blood in Magnificent Seven looked like
You're right.
It was like shit.
Yeah.
But this one was like, you saw a guy's eye get shot out, or like, she pulls over, like keep shooting it, then she pulls away, fucking shot through the eye. No real blood. It was just like, dark.
Well, that's probably how you got the PG-13 rating.
That's what I'm saying. They had to like nerf the shit out of it, even though they were going for like a gritty, like more violent Western.
Yeah, you can get, that's how that shit works. Like, you can get X, but you have to give up Y because they're all fucking crude
compromise.
Fucking that's, MPAA bullshit.
And that's when you know you're watching like a movie by committee. Like, you're just sitting there and you're just watching a movie that
Well,
was...
that's not even the movie by committee. That's the fault of like the MPAA.
Well,
yes. They're just like these fucking puritanical, like, shadow figure, literally shadow figures.
Jay, that's another podcast for another day. I know we have a lot to talk about with
It's fucking garbage, but they're like, well, okay, we'll let you shoot him through the eye, but like, you can't
you
do
can't
blood.
Show blood and nobody can have sex.
You can, and there is no sex allowed. It's like, well, there wasn't sex to be, just so you know, there is no sex allowed.
And you get two swear words.
But you can't have gay characters. We didn't say anything about
it.
We just want to make sure that you don't have gay characters.
Seriously.
Unless, wait, hold on. They can be gay as long as they're being violently murdered, but if they kiss another gay person,
or
the
bad guys, or if they're
bad guys,
sure.
Yeah. But otherwise, no. Like the fuck the MPAA.
Yeah, fuck
that's why you have this shit.
Yeah,
that's why you have that stupid shit.
But this was just a movie made for, you know, not. I feel less for the art and more for the money.
You're like, absolutely right.
There
about
are movies
that,
we watch that are for the art, like Kurosawa. That was a movie made for the art, and he pushed the art form. And then we get to this, which was the complete opposite. It was just a cash grab, just capitalizing off the name and then big name actors.
Yeah.
And hoping that
and it worked.
Hoping that a 75%, a C+ movie would carry it.
It passed.
Oh, it's again, I'm going to pull
C plus is a pass
to a video game industry, but it's like probably one of those.
It's like the 7.5. It's the Randy Pitchford,
the Randy Pitchford, like, okay, well,
we'll
give
we
it.
It was gonna be
you get a bonus if you get a 7.5 or above on Metacritic. And it's probably, it strikes me as the same type of thing. Like, okay, well, make this movie, we'll pay you this, and we'll give you a bonus if it gets to a 7.5 on Rotten Tomatoes.
Interesting.
I don't think they do that. That's not
I don't know if they do that in the movie industry. I don't know, but that's kind of like...
I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah. Just like the Hillary Clinton blackface thing. I don't have evidence, but I can.
It's definitely. It's not.
It wouldn't be shocked. Absolutely. Just wouldn't be shocked.
I absolutely wouldn't be shocked.
That is probably the thing, if it got revealed tomorrow, that I would be least shocked in the world.
Yeah.
I think, like, anything I would,
aliens?
I'd scroll by that on Twitter and I'd just be like,
what?
Yeah. Okay. And just keep scrolling.
Yeah, no shit.
I guess that's true. Yeah.
But yeah, so would you recommend this movie?
Would I recommend this movie? How long was it actually? Was it 2 hours? It was at least 2 hours,
about
2 hours,
right?
Just
under
2 hours. 2:10. Two with the credits.
If you got nothing else to do and you're too lazy to change the channel,
dude, just watch a better Western. Well,
yeah, I think there that's are better.
If this is free,
yeah,
and you don't have access to any better Westerns on Netflix or whatever,
if somehow that happens, sure.
Watch Tombstone instead.
Yeah, watch Tombstone. Watch fucking Unforgiven. Watch fucking any of the good ones from '90s. 3:10 to Yuma. Like, there's so many good ones.
Watch an old Western. There's a bunch of good ones of those, too.
The Magnificent Seven.
Yeah, just watch the 1960.
Watch the
original one. Neil Brenner's character just had so much more gravity as the main character in that. Like, he had that just kind of way of talking, that weird accent. Kind of jovial. Like, he didn't really take anything too seriously, which was kind of part of his character. And it made you like him. And he commanded every scene that he was in. And Denzel was like, yeah, I'm here. I'm commanding the one-on-ones that I get.
You know what also did it? Because Denzel had this personal connection to
Bogue or whatever.
It made him have an investment in this whole situation.
Which kind of ruins the whole point of that character.
Whereas the other characters were selfless.
And that was like the beautiful part about those characters.
They knew they were going to get paid in rice and food.
Yeah.
And exactly. Denzel's like, I can get revenge.
Yeah.
Denzel was getting paid in blood.
Yeah. 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 And I mean, I didn't notice it until now, but
now
my brain
you bring
did.
That up. Yeah.
It's like, it really does make it feel like these characters are personally invested in this versus just doing it as kind of like a charity gig,
which is right. Like kind of what makes it so much more selfless.
And yeah. Four of them die.
More honorable.
This,
yeah.
You know, charitable thing that they do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For nothing for them.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. And it just, when you take that away, it just feels a little bit less.
Yeah. Again, if this were like ridiculously bad, I think I would have had more fun.
Probably because we would have mocked it to death a little bit.
I'm just more angry that I had to like waste my time on this movie that my life would have been better without having seen.
It's exactly what you said. What's that?
I blame you, Brandon.
this is Brandon's idea.
He should probably
Kurosawa
be angry at yourself.
Hey, we watched two good ones for one bad one. I don't want to fucking hear it.
He's like, no, it wasn't my fault. I'm just really angry. And
Seven Samurai doesn't count because it was magnificent, but it was also 3.5 hours long, so they offset.
That can't spell her out. God damn it. God damn it.
So fuck you, Brandon. Dave and Jay win again.
Booyah!
Yes. If you guys went into this thinking, if you guys went into this thinking that both movies were ever going to be good that in a week that we're watching this, you guys are high.
It's happened.
I have a suggestion.
It has happened, and those are great.
Okay.
But
the Magnificent Ferengi.
Well, yeah.
Interesting.
I mean,
wow. Oh, what an idea, Jay.
Unless Brandon doesn't like Star Trek as well as Star Wars.
I'm totally fine with that.
I think that's a great idea. Wow, what a great idea, Jay.
It popped into
Brandon,
my head.
How come you can't have these ideas?
Sorry for not suggesting we watched an episode of a TV show.
It was my fault for not suggesting Jay come up with the ideas to begin with. You got to take personal responsibility.
I am the idea guy, Dave. And
I mean, if you
want to
take that
now.
Off of me, that's totally fine.
I'm sorry,
fine.
Brandon. I'm sorry. I'm sorry I put you through this.
Less responsibility, same amount of pay. It's totally fine by me.
Same amount of pay. We're all raking it in. Not my job.
Oh, yeah. So, sure. Do you want to watch Magnificent Frank? That gives Dave, like, you know, pressure off because he's gonna be
traveling.
Shit.
Awesome,
just
that
gotta
would
watch
actually
like a
be great.
40 minute TV show.
Yeah. So if you guys haven't heard of this, we talked about it briefly on the last episode. An episode of Star Trek: Deep Space Nine is basically a tribute to this movie.
It's a send off to this movie where the
Magnificent Ferengi.
Totally different, but it's also it is a big send up.
It's totally silly, but it's kind of it's a very loose. It's not like a retelling.
Honestly, I'd say more faithful than fucking.
than this movie.
Yeah,
you might be right. It was exactly what you said, Brent. It was very average.
It's just
very average and
painfully average. Like,
but Star Trek DS9 is not
always good.
Average.
Always,
so
always good.
Always good.
Catch up by watching all of Star Trek.
Yeah, gotta get
DS9
context. So you have to watch. Else.
And I think this is like a season.
It's
eight,
like a season.
Season
it's a late
six, yeah.
season.
Yeah.
It's definitely season.
So
six,
you guys have some work to do.
But you'll thank us for it. It's
you will.
It's worth it.
If you're still listening to us and haven't watched DS9, I don't know.
And you know what we should do, but we can't do it because Jay, I watched last night the last Airbender live action movie with Christine.
Oh, no, you did?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Because, well, I'd seen it before.
Oh.
But we had, Christine and I just finished rewatching the last Airbender, and I saw something on YouTube where it was like the review of the last Airbender live action, and I was like,
we should watch that.
We should watch that. So I made her sit through the whole 2 hours or whatever it is of that horrible, heinous
movie.
You guys
kind of like did your own NAFcast because like just of a remake of
it's a remake. We could do it if Jay would simply watch the best cartoon show ever made. But
I've not seen all of it, but I've seen a lot of it.
It's fine. I'm not going to force you, Jay. It's something you're going
to
have to.
It would be very very interesting to see you try.
Well,
I've seen tied down.
I've seen
the
Clockwork Orange.
The eye clamps.
I can do it. It's not hard. The process isn't difficult.
The little scotch tape on my eyelids.
But because I respect your opinions, even when they're bad, I'm going to let you not watch this movie or this show. You shouldn't watch the movie, but it is one of the worst. Like that's a movie we could spend hours just tearing apart because that is so bad.
Yeah.
Christine was, they pronounce everyone's name wrong.
Yeah.
Was it just not made by the same company?
No, it was made by Nickelodeon, bro. These are Nickelodeon shows. So this is a Nickelodeon production.
So they just,
they hired M. Night Shyamalan. That was part of the problem.
M. Night Shyamalan made it. So they basically hired a bunch of people and to write out a story that was very similar to the story of the show. And they catered it to this audience of the show, obviously, because if you're going to go see this movie, you're probably a fan of the show. And what they decided to do was on the set to direct all the actors to say the characters' names incorrectly throughout the whole movie. So you know the characters you've grown to know and love over the three seasons you watch this show and the reason you came to this movie? They all feel like different people just because people are missing. Like, all right, Jaytun. Brandbor. Oh, welcome. God. It's just like it's all pronounced like Dajid. Dajid, my good friend, who I've known for all these years. You're just like, that's not the name. My name's David. Like, that's not the name.
It's almost
how
like,
are you fucking this up?
It's almost like, is this a knockoff? Is this like
it almost like feels like a parody. Like
I mean, you know the story about the title too.
Oh, because Avatar.
Yeah, yeah. They had to call it The Last Airbender. So it's infamously known.
Because the name is supposed to be Avatar.
We should do Dragon Ball Evolution.
Oh my gosh.
I've never seen it, but I've seen reviews of it. It looks so,
I actually,
so bad.
I think I watched it, but then I think I blocked it out of my brain.
You Eternal Sunshine it somehow?
Yeah.
Good for
you. Yeah, because I think it's so bad. Same thing I did with the Arnold Schwarzenegger Mars movie.
Total Recall. Yeah,
Total Recall remake.
Remember watching that? You're like, I guess I did see that.
I really had not remembered that movie at all. And then it took me until the elevator. And I was like, oh, I've seen this. It's so bad. All right. Well, we'll come back next week. We'll do some DS9, The Magnificent Ferengi. That'll be our first actual Star Trek episode where we are doing an episode about Star Trek and we're not just talking about Star Trek randomly.
If you guys want us to keep doing that. Just drop us a line.
I guess we did our episodes on Discovery.
Those count. Yeah. Picard too.
I meant good Star Trek. Yeah. For some reason, we're doing about good Star Trek. All right. So we'll see you guys next week. Everybody, stay home. Stay safe.
Yes.
I'm Dave.
I'm Brandon.
I'm Jay.
Nobody asked for this.